Good morning. Welcome to the show, Money Matters. I'm John Marie from Kingston Wealth Management. Thanks for tuning in this morning. Happy Easter weekend to everybody out there. Hopefully we'll get a break in the nice weather tomorrow, and it'll all be nice. So that's what we're hopeful for. Today we're going to talk a little bit more about financial news and kind of what's been going on in the last week, what's kind of in the headlines, and then also talk about a pretty neat strategy. We spent a lot of time Chris Rudy's joining me today, I should mention, also from Kingston Wealth Management. We spent a lot of time talking, Chris, about retirement for individuals, and I may have mentioned a week or so ago, had a client who listens to the show a lot, says, hey, talk a little bit about small business, because there's a lot of things out there that affect them. So the next couple of weeks, we're going to try to hone in on some things that in the second portion of the show that kind of direct that. I want to ask you a little bit. The markets this week were, we saw some pretty significant swings, I think, at the end of the day. Nothing too unexpected with the volatility that we're seeing. But what is the driving force behind some of the movement this past week?
Well, I think the things that you see in the news kind of dominating have been a kind of a multitude of factors. Number one being the trade sanctions, tariffs, however you want to look at that, the potential, you know, escalating, you know, some people want to call it a trade war with China. So, you know, I think that that fuels a lot of fears, especially for certain areas of American-made products. If we're going to make it more difficult for foreign countries to sell their products here in this country, we could face a little bit of retribution from the outside world on American products being sold overseas. So that throws that uncertainty into the mix. And obviously, I think we've said many times on this show, when uncertainty arises, so does the volatility. And that's exactly what we saw. Now, you know, a day later, sometimes things that seem a little bit intense or seem like they're headed in one direction get back down a little bit. So you've heard that there's discussions behind the scenes, talks between the United States and China. And it may not be as bleak as maybe the early week predictions left out. And then also later in the week, we had the announcement of the U.S.-Korean trade deal,
which was huge.
So that, you know, that's one thing that I think I wish got a little more play.
Me too.
That, you know, there's a lot of positive things going on with regards to trade. South Korea is a big trade partner, and if we can continue to have deals that benefit both countries, both areas, I think that's going to be good for everybody in the long run. And then the other big story of the week is technology stocks, technology sector,
Facebook
in particular, but nobody was immune. Not even everyone's favorite Apple took a little bit of a hit midweek. And you know, it could be from a multitude of things. Obviously, Facebook has some pretty big issues going on with regards to
privacy,
how they protect privacy, what they've done with their user data. And I think you're going to see more to come. I know in April sometime, some of the major tech CEOs are scheduled to testify before Congress. And whether that leads to anything, I don't know. But it's probably not going to be great for their overall stock price, at least in the short run. So that really kind of pulled things down, increased some volatility. And then you add on top of that what we saw with some of the Uber self-driving cars, trying to determine, hey, is that something that everybody thought was a lot closer than maybe it really is? And it's sad when it takes a tragedy to kind of put things in perspective. But there's still, I think, a lot of work to go with some of that. But, you know, then it starts to hit the chip makers for all these devices. So there's really a lot of stories out there, but there's still a lot of positive.
A lot of positive. Now, one thing that really bothers me, and I watch a lot of the different media, try to get a balance as much as I can, and the story about the South Korean trade deal, which I think didn't get near enough play, and when it did get play, it was referred to as a modest move. But I think to put a number on it, I saw a number where on an import with South Korea alone, it's like 16 million cars imported to 1.6 million that we export to them. And so that alone is going to get some attention and get some fix to it. And so I think the China portion is still to be determined, and I'll believe it when I see it. But I do feel like at least some of these things are not necessarily going to be as negative as maybe was once perceived. But as you said, sometimes the market definitely does pick up on that. A couple other things I wanted to mention. I think the Fed, you mentioned last week, the Fed making the move. There really wasn't a lot of, I don't think the markets really was too jittery about that when that's now been in place.
Yeah, of all the things we just laid out, I would put the Fed interest rate move certainly behind those. And obviously that's because that's something we knew about. We had heard about it being planned, it carried through. So it eliminates some of that uncertainty. Now the difference with the new Fed chairman recently installed, I think we had originally started 2018 with 3 planned interest rate increases.
Right.
I think everybody's believing that that's going to be 4 before the end of the year, but that's because everything is moving in such a positive direction that they need to take those appropriate steps. So I actually think had they not raised rates, had there been a dramatic shift, that would have caused much more anxiety in markets than just kind of a slow planned increase.
Let's take our first break. When we come back, we got lots more to cover. Back in just a few minutes.
Have you been to Baxter's Restaurant and Chop House lately? If you haven't, you're missing one of the best dining experiences in the area. Enjoy a certified Angus beef hand-cut steak or perhaps some of their seafood that's flown in daily, as fresh as you can get. Baxter's also features fine wines and spirits to complement their menu choices. And don't forget about daily happy hour specials and gift cards for the holidays. When you're looking for an enjoyable lunch or dinner experience, look no further than Baxter's. Located on East Empire across from the airport and now open in Champaign, Urbana.
When I ask our moms and dads why they chose Katie's Kids, they don't hesitate to tell me that it's the low adult-to-child ratio in our classrooms. And it's the experienced and patient teachers that guide and care for their children every day. Hi, this is Katie, owner of Katie's Kids Learning Center. Our primary caregiving model ensures your child receives the one-on-one attention they want and deserve. What's important to you? Call or come in today to Katie's Kids in Normal or in Bloomington, or visit us online at katieskids.net. Developing relationships, the heart of quality care.
Welcome back to the show, Money Matters. Thanks for tuning in this morning. We've had a good discussion starting out a little bit about what's been happening in the past week, maybe what to look forward to. A couple more things before we get into the business side that we talked about doing, Chris. Oil, just briefly touch on that. It's kind of seeing gas prices inch up a little bit here in McLean County.
Yeah, oil, it certainly has translated to higher gas prices. Now the price per barrel, I think, is still hovered in the mid to upper 60 range, which again is up from 2015, but down from maybe 2013 and 14. So we're starting to see the demand pick back up. I think you're seeing more building done, so that creates a little bit more of a demand for oil. But we've certainly seen a price jump at the pump, and you know, while it's unpleasant, I think we've all gotten used to that closer to $2 range. It's still very good compared to what we saw just a few years ago.
Last point before during break, we talked about, you know, you've cautioned folks to getting too excited about any one particular stock or company or investment. And I think what's going on right now with Facebook, I think you mentioned maybe what Volkswagen at that point in time when they had their issues, BP not too many years ago with the oil. I think it's just, does that serve a purpose for people to understand why you don't chase one hot item?
Yeah, I mean, I think Facebook, as you mentioned, is just kind of the example of the day. But if we go back, we can identify many individual several companies that at one point were, you know, the darling of the stock market, were the thing that everybody wanted to be in, and had a really big run up in the price. But no company is immune to an issue or a problem, much unlike a mutual fund that holds many different pieces of many companies.
Yeah.
The likelihood of a mutual fund compared to a stock having that long-term decline in price and staying there is much less. So I think it just speaks to that diversification piece when we talk about having a portfolio that you don't have all your eggs in one basket, because, you know, while it's great to invest in individual companies if you believe in them over the long run, you just have to understand that you're taking on a lot more uncertainty, and it leads to a lot more potential risk.
Let's talk about certainty now, and that's taxes. Everybody's getting ready. We got a little extra time this year, a couple days. But Chris, we talk about taxes on the individual, but taxes on business. You know, we know that every penny counts when you run a small business, and sometimes minimizing those taxes can be the difference between, you know, a profit and a loss. And so I want to talk about five or six potential things that people need to know that are out there that might help businesses. And you were helping me with my taxes. You were kind enough to do that on the personal side. But there is tax software for the business folks, and that's something that you shouldn't necessarily pass up.
Yeah, no, I think anytime you can make things easier on yourself, obviously, if you're running any size business, small, medium, or large, there's certain things that you choose to spend your time on that hopefully are in service of growing your business and profit and revenue, right, and other things that you sometimes have to spend time on to avoid a problem. And one of those would be the time that it takes to do your taxes. But if you can avail yourself of really any of the electronic products that are really out there, mm-hmm. they're so much more developed and sophisticated than they were even 5-10 years ago. It really kind of helps you walk through step by step. And if you have a complicated return, there's really no replacing a tax professional, or somebody that's going to help you do tax planning for the year ahead. But if you have somewhat of a more simpler business return, using those softwares that are out there can really help you save time and sometimes help identify places where you can get a little bit of an extra deduction that you're due that, you know, maybe you normally would overlook.
And we should point out too, and as we always do, that we are not tax professionals. We're not CPAs. And I think we like to talk in terms of general ideas, but obviously you should consult your accountant before, your professional, before you make any moves on your own individual side. Chris, the other thing that these software things can do, and I think it's just imperative, is follow spending to track your deductions. You know, having a whole pile of box of receipts at the end of the year, trying to go through those are cumbersome. But talk about what things are out there that you kind of maybe can help out with that.
Well, I think two of the ones people probably have heard of are QuickBooks or Quicken or Mint.com. You know, one of the planning software that we use more on the individual side can help kind of aggregate things. But anything that you can, again, avail yourself of, especially to track purchases, keep better records, make mm-hmm. things easier to get to when you go to file your tax return, are much better than kind of maybe the old method of trying to keep a paper receipt for everything, because we all know things get misplaced from time to time.
We talk about retirement accounts for individuals, but, you know, paying your retirement accounts first when you're a business, a small business, there's so many opportunities out there that people sometimes don't realize how much they can actually put into shelter dollars if you're a small business.
Yeah, and that's certainly one of the areas that either touching on with your financial advisor as far as what the options are, certainly with your tax preparer if you work with one, on how much you and your business can specifically put in. But there's plenty of opportunities out there for self-employed folks, business owners who maybe don't do a traditional 401k. I mean, that's kind of the most common route,
right.
but SEP IRAs, simple plans for mm-hmm. smaller companies. There's a lot of ways out there that business owners can contribute more than just that $5,500
right.
or $6,500 if you're over 50 for their individual retirement accounts.
Yeah, and I think, and while we won't get into the details today, but there are things out there, cash balance pension plans, that I know you guys are familiar with, but that they can really, depending on your own personal situation, your small business situation, can really put some dollars away.
Oh yeah, there's no shortage of ways, qualified and non-qualified type plans that business owners can avail themselves of to maybe potentially save for retirement income down the line. The ways to maybe keep key people involved in the company through use of insurance products.
Right.
So there's a lot of business-driven solutions available to business owners.
And you mentioned CPAs. They can kind of help determine what those thresholds are for qualification. Obviously, if you're a joint filer, individual filer, those numbers change and they fluctuate, but you have to pay close attention to that as well. Deducting home office, I everybody's always looking for opportunities legitimately to take what's deserved, but I think too many small businesses sometimes overlook, and that's one of them that I think gets overlooked a lot.
Well, I know that's one of the features that many of those tax preparation softwares that,
right.
that we started with really help
you
identify
through.
And really, you know, I know everybody gets a little bit nervous sometimes. They want to take what's due to them, but you know, you don't want to invite the IRS into your house either by potentially taking too much or opening yourself up to an audit. But I mean, you definitely can deduct a home office. And so if that's a portion of your home, mm-hmm. be it utilities, cable, internet,
right.
there's no shortage of things that are eligible. And again, checking with CPA to make sure that each one of those things is available to you. But there's a lot out there that we would encourage people to try to be mindful of, because it's difficult enough to run a business. You may as well take advantage of the things that are available to you.
And that would hold true for auto expenses. I think some folks sometimes forget that there are some things in place, if you qualify, that can help there too.
Yeah, depending on the type of employee, the type of wages that you earn, if you're more of an independent contractor, certainly tracking things like mileage, oil changes that you just use for your vehicle. There's really a kind of an endless amount of possibilities, just depending on what your profession is.
And lastly, cover. You know, from time to time, you're going to have carryover deductions. You need to track those to maybe take them in the following year if eligible.
Yeah, certainly. That's a business and a personal thing that people can be mindful of. Sometimes we have an investment that maybe didn't go the way that that we originally had planned, and getting out of it to do something else created a little bit of a loss that maybe you can't offset with a gain this year. But remember to carry that forward, because you can, down the line, when you have a more of a significant gain, use that to offset.
Let's take a quick break. We got a good question to come when the next segment. Back in just a minute.
Some of the best experiences in life are carefully planned down to the last detail to ensure their enjoyment. Retirement living is no different. If you haven't thought about your options, Westminster Village wants to remind you that now is the time to plan ahead and do your research. Westminster Village believes in celebrating life by providing excellence in senior living through a continuum of care and services. Call today to schedule a tour and see how the campus can fit into your plans for the future. It's never too early to plan ahead, so be sure to ask about waiting list opportunities as well. Westminster Village is a continuing care retirement community offering independent living, licensed assisted living, and skilled nursing care, all on its 40-acre campus in Bloomington. Ask questions and stay updated by following them on Facebook and Twitter at Westminster VLG, or visit the website at westminstervillageinc.com to schedule your campus visit.
When is the last time your bank did something exciting? Something truly amazing? It's time you discover Bloomington Normal Community Bank, your home for amazing banking experiences.
With the Amazing Account, your checking account earns an annual percentage yield of 5.01% on up to $5,000, rewarded to you in points.
Then you can redeem these points for gift cards, travel, merchandise, even cash.
Plus, there are other ways your amazing account earns points, like using your debit card. So why choose ordinary when you can have something amazing?
Some conditions apply. Come see one of our amazing bankers. We have time for you. Bloomington Normal Community Bank, a division of Morton Community Bank, member FDIC.
Back to the show, Money Matters. Thanks for tuning in this weekend. I hope you're off to a good start, and hope everyone has a great holiday planned. I want to thank our sponsors, as we like to do each week, Bloomington Normal Community Bank, Baxter's Grill, Katie's Kids Learning Center, and the Westminster Village, all great companies that you'll hear a lot about in McLean County. Also want to remind folks too, Chris, that people have been taking up on your willingness to take some calls after the show, and particularly regarding things maybe where they've got some retirement questions, maybe they've got some things that have happened with their job that might have affected them. State Farm comes to mind. And if folks want to get in touch with you or Kevin, 663-9477. Always got to do that at no charge. The first visit, you guys never charge, and glad to look at some of those things. So that's always an opportunity. Had a great question come in via the internet from someone that basically wanted to know, what happens, Chris, if I have a loan against my 401k and then leave my employer? What are the things that you have to pay attention? First of all, correct me if I'm wrong, but you don't really even like that concept of doing it.
No, because things like loans are more preferable than maybe to an early withdrawal, where you definitely get hit with a penalty if you're under 59 and a half. It becomes taxable income to you if you withdraw. one step up from that is taking a loan. And, you know, while I've spoken to several people who over the years have done this, have taken a loan for various reasons. Obviously, we can't predict what's going to happen in our lives.
Right.
And sometimes we just have to use that money to make sure that we're kind of handling, meeting those day-to-day expenses. But I think it invites a lot of potential problems. And one is if you don't pay it back. So if you leave your company voluntarily or not and have a loan against your 401k, you may have to repay the entire balance within 60 days. You'll need to check with your plan administrator to find out exactly how long you have to repay that loan. And if you don't repay it, the remaining amount, less any non-deductible contributions that you may have, will be treated as a taxable distribution and reported to you on a tax form. Also, if you're under 59 and a half, again, that
penalty.
10% penalty for early distribution. And on that tax form that you'd receive, they'd calculate any additional taxes or penalties on your outstanding loan balance. And I would just add to that, not only are you having to pay that loan back right away, get taxed on it, those are dollars that were meant for your income in retirement that you're having to now replace somewhere down the line. And it can just, they kind of build on themselves. So, you know, I know some people have successfully navigated the loan, and if you've got the kind of the good willpower to do that, certainly more preferable than to a total withdrawal. But I think there's too many times where folks maybe try to reevaluate your situation, try to weigh, hey, do I really need to do this before actually taking that step?
Good. I think it's good to cover. If you've got questions, other questions that you want us to cover on the air, reach us at KingstonWealthManagement.net. Always glad to get those on the air for the next show. Also, if you've got an idea of a show topic that you'd like to see us cover, let us know. Give us a call. Give us a quick note, and we'll make sure we get to that.
Yeah, you mentioned meeting with folks, and again, we're always welcome to do that. And you know, as we kind of continue our focus on small business, you know, a lot of times where questions we get are, hey, how do I transition from my small business now to my own personal retirement plan? And doing those things, we can kind of maybe help point out some good ideas for that.
Next week, we're going to talk more about some more small business items, and that may be some of the stuff we get to. Chris, thanks for joining me. We'll be back next week with more Money Matters. Till then, this is John Rudy saying thanks for listening.
Securities offered through Valmark Securities, Inc., member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advisory services offered through Valmark Advisors, Inc., an SEC-registered investment advisor. Kingston Wealth Management, Inc. is a separate entity from Valmark Securities, Inc. and Valmark Advisors, Inc.
Over the years, the professional advisors at Kingston Wealth Management have talked about the many benefits of comprehensive financial planning. Perhaps one of the areas that you could be faced with is an offer for early retirement. Questions come up like, what do I do if I'm offered a severance package? How will I handle health insurance prior to becoming eligible for Medicare coverage? At Kingston Wealth Management, we specialize in preparing our clients for opportunities as well as obstacles that may serve us along the way. If you're seeking advice for issues like this and many other questions that come up regarding your retirement strategy, give us a call and we'll be happy to arrange a meeting free of cost to explore the best path together. Call us at 663-9477 to make an appointment soon, and check us out on the website at KingstonWealthManagement.net. To make sure you're getting the best advice before you're presented with options for you and your family, talk to us. We're the Kingston Wealth Management Group, financial services above and beyond.
Securities offered through Valmark Securities, Inc., member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advisory services offered through Valmark Advisors, Inc., an SEC-registered investment advisor. Kingston Wealth Management, Inc. is a separate entity from Valmark Securities, Inc. and Valmark Advisors, Inc.